Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
We got there in the end.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to the Sean Atwood Channel. I'm Ron Swanson. It's been a bit of a dilemma this evening. We originally had 2 guests coming on. We had BJ Investigates coming on, and she was going to do a little bit of a dive into Diddy and continue the flow of Diddy information about the case that just comes out every 2 seconds. And I'd taken it upon myself to bestow upon you people something else at the end of the week. Now, I want to bring in somebody like Ryan Hard Target. He is a incredibly successful music artist and rapper, and we're going to dive into all of that and bring you a different flavor to the end of the week. I think we all stare into the abyss a lot, and it's sometimes good to bring something else to the table. So we will be trying to get BJ back. It could be a timeline thing. It could be she thinks it's 11 or half 11 or whatever. I do not know, but I hope everything is okay, and I'm very, very excited to do this interview. And Ryan, thanks so much for being here. Thank you so much, and we'll dive in because I'm eager to hear a lot more about you and your story and your journey. But just for everyone in the side chat, introduce yourself and tell us just a little bit about of what it is you do here on YouTube. Obviously,
all right. Like you said, my name's Ryan, born Ryan Holla Gang. That's what my mom calls me. I'm an artist. I make hip hop music. It's kind of like infused with country rock and roll. I go by Hard Target. I'm from Florida. I've been doing music for the past 20 years. I think my first album came out in 2003 or 2004, one of those. But it's been a long journey. Like, praise the Lord, I'm in a position where I could call this my career, my job, and raise a family or take care of a family off it. But other than that, it's just, you know, up and down ride. Not music, and hoping something comes of it.
Well, I think every content creator, when we boil it down to YouTube, right, goes through those highs and lows, whether it's numbers or whether it's traction or whatever. I imagine the levels of which that can go up and down in the music scene as time goes on, and as terms of service change and how things get pushed out. How has that impacted you over the years? And have you ever had any moments where it just all felt like it was slipping away?
To be honest with you, it's always been like that. I've always compared, not compared, I've always said a thing with music is a lot of people, like I have friends or family like that, that'll be like, oh, you've got an easy job or whatever. Like, first of all, like, I dropped out in 8th grade. I never even made it to high school. I could mix, master, record, engineer, do my production, edit video, graphic design. I could code HTML, all this shit, because I wanted to put out music. And throughout the years, I learned all this shit, and it's been a long fucking task. And it's like, I could go, you go out and dig a hole for 6 hours and come home and go, I'm getting paid. I could sit in the studio for 6 hours and I might not get paid. And that's, I'm just using that as an example, because I've worked months on albums, put them out, and they fail. We've me and my partner, Brenwyn DeVille, we've worked, shot, like, did music videos where we've shot like 5 different days in like 10 different locations, paid all these extras, spent money on this, that, third. And we're like, yo, this video's it. This is going to change our lives. We put it out and it drops, fails miserably. Then we'll turn around and shoot a video in one location, no B-roll, nothing special, just a random song that will hold its place till the next big record comes.
Yeah.
And then that song goes crazy. I can never tell what's going to work. I can never tell what's going to fail.
Do you think that in 2024 people are connecting more with the what feels like a lower budget or a lower do you think that's directly sort of in relation to what people thought was relatable at the start of your career with regards to YouTube and what people connected with? Because I see, we're going to play one of your videos just shortly, and I see a lot of similarities in that video to a lot of other sort of music that I connect with. It's mm-hmm. very focused on the artist. It's you're almost center stage. The backdrops are great. Everything's good, and you're not taking me on a journey. I'm listening to you. You're taking me on the musical journey, but there's not this underlying tones, a story within the video to throw everything off. It's just it's complementing what you're doing, and I think that's testament to where people are at. They don't want the bullshit anymore, Ryan.
I think it's a mixture of what you're saying. I've always said this. You know what the easiest thing to sell someone? The easiest thing to sell someone is the truth. And like when you say like these lower budget, like TikToks, for instance, like you could watch a high budget TikTok and a low budget TikTok. One may perform better, one may not perform better. But if like these, the lower budget ones, if you get the right artist, the right performance, and it connects with people and people don't feel like they're being sold bullshit, it's going to move. It's going to grow its own legs and move. It doesn't need budgets. It doesn't need label ad revenue to blow up on all this shit and get shoved in your face by a major label. If it's good, it's great. It'll move. And it's because it's honest. You don't feel like it's fake. And I think it's a mixture of the low budget stuff. It does help it, because on TikTok, if you just use their platform, like if you go shoot on your fucking Sony camera, your Red camera for a TikTok, and then I shoot on my iPhone's going to do better because the algorithm TikTok recognizes that bullshit. And they recognize you're using their shit, and they see that you're using their app. So they're going to show that to more of their fans. So yes, it does. But I think a lot of what has to do with it is people just don't want to be sold bullshit no more. And a lot of these younger artists that are relatively unknown are putting out stuff, and it's like, I relate to that. And then so do millions of other people.
Do you think that that form of video and that sort of connection has to relate to the pace of the song? Because because I feel like I connect more when the flow's a little slower. I'm able to sort of be drawn in, and there's less distraction, if that makes sense. Do you find that some songs you can apply that method of video to and it works, and others don't?
Yeah, man, you do too much. It's just like video wise, graphic wise, musically, production wise, you could have all these intricate little leads of guitars and piano solos. There's too much going on. It's taken away from what the song is. Sometimes people just want to hear, I'm not okay. You don't got to reword it and make it all fancy and pretty. Just say, I'm not okay. And that's going to hit somebody. Same thing with the video. Sometimes just filming the subject and let them perform and let that passion from what they're about to say hit versus the neon lights and explosions or giant swoop downs with cranes and passing by cars 90 mile an hour passing a camera through the window. Just film the subject and let them get their shit off, because sometimes them getting their shit off is more powerful than fucking Godzilla walking through Manhattan.
Well, this is the thing. Music's always had this powerful impact, right, from the moments people started beating on drums effectively. And I think this, the way the world shifted, you know, you've seen what's going on in the world with the Diddy case and the way the world is. And it's, I think we're going to see a new generation who are seeking out not only the truth in the news, but a better message for their ears when they turn on their music. And Mac, who set up this interview, who's in the side chat, is now Mackenstein, Slum American Mac. He has reshaped my whole perception on music with regards to who's existed on YouTube, the messages they're putting out there. And when I take some of these church tunes and I show them to people who have newly discovered the realities of the world and they listen to it, it sort of gives, you know, when people want to connect and they don't want to feel alone, right? It's almost a political and old school woke, not new school woke mindset that people are connecting with. They're connecting with people that understand that there's more going on. There's a darker ploy. There's a bigger story and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Do you think that people's views after what's going on with Diddy right now is going to, you know, impact hip hop in a way for independent artists, positively or negatively? How do you see it playing out?
Honestly, man, the stuff with Diddy and like, will it impact it? No, I think within 6 months, everyone that's involved in that bullshit, they'll find a way to. I'm not like a big conspiracy person or big political person, but I am behind closed doors.
It's, yeah, we all are.
It's sleight of hand. We're going to go, oh my God, this is happening. And he was involved. And then they're just going to go, look what's happening over here. Florida's getting destroyed by fucking 6 hurricanes back to back and fucked in the ass. And it's like, we don't care about that right now.
Yeah.
And it'll slowly just be factored out and phased out. And it'll be like, oh, remember when Diddy fucking was putting sleep medicine in baby oil?
Baby, I mean, that is some Bond villain Looney Tunes madness right there.
Bro,
do you know how mad you have to be, Ryan, to get 1,000 bottles of lube and lace them up with chemicals? Do you know how mad that is? I mean
like,
what? And then to just leave them lying about. Just leave them lying out.
I got a Sam's Club membership, bro.
Dude, listen.
What's up?
A little part of me thinks they did a really massive cleanup job, and there was more than 1,000. It just, they couldn't carry the last 1,000 out. That's what it kind of felt like to me. But listen, that's not what we're here for, Ryan. Okay, that's not what we're here for. Okay, we don't want to go down that fucking road. So let's go back to the day before your first upload, right? Okay. The journey to bringing you to sort of step forward, your initial, you know, the skyrocketing and the your career as a whole. Take us back to the beginning of it and how it sort of rolled out for you. What sort of length of time was it before shit got serious?
I could tell you what got me serious. I did music. Like I said, I put it out, I think it was 2003 or 2004. I put out an album called Southern Accent.
Okay.
Back then, this was before iTunes. You were still doing hard copies. iTunes was just slowly getting introduced. Napster, Morpheus, LimeWire, all that shit was going on. And bro, back then, like, again, I to this day, I've told you I do the graphics and all this. I was fucking mental, man. I wasn't spending money on all this stuff. I bought a studio, did all that. So for promotion, I went like, did some sneaky ass shit. I would upload my shit to LimeWire, Morpheus, Napster, any album that was being released. Soon as that track list hit, man, I would upload my whole album onto it and title it under those tracks. And in the metadata, I would write my website.
Yeah.
And that went on for years, and like, I was passionate about it. Open mics. At this point, I was touring overseas around the United States, the whole nine. And then I'll say what changed it was in 2008, I had my daughter, my first child. And I remember when I found this out, I like lost my mind. I was like, abortion, we should get an abort. And, you know, praise the Lord, there's a woman out there that's stronger than I am.
Yeah. The panic mode.
What happened?
I'm saying you went into panic mode.
I did, man, because I was like, man, I'm fucking a loser trying to be a rapper. Like, what the fuck? I'm not going to be able to do it. But I remember what happened is I went out and filled out all these applications, because before then I got by the bare minimum. As long as I had money to pay for my studio equipment and get the shows I was doing, I didn't care. I was happy, content. And I was like, how am I going to take care of a human? And I went and filled out a bunch of applications. And I remember at this time, I got a call back for Ruby Tuesdays. I was going to be a dishwasher. And I remember I said, this was with my ex at the time. I was like, look, I've got this opportunity. I'm in Florida. This company out of Texas is like a hip hop record label. It's like, look, we could pay you this amount of dollars to do graphics for our label, da da da. And after 3 months, we'll boost it up to this. And the amount of money they're willing to pay was the same amount I would have been making at Ruby Tuesdays.
That's
sweet. And I continued to make music. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you think I should do? And she's like, do what you think will work. I trust you. And I did. And praise the Lord, man, like having that kid, like lit a fire under my ass, because it turned music into something like, oh, I hope one day I get signed to, I got to make money off this. I got to figure out how to be lucrative. You know what I mean? Because before, I didn't care if I made money. I was loving making music. And I'm still got that same mentality. I don't want to be like I'm not. But now there's a fucking human depending on me. So it just changed from there. It was like boom, boom, boom. Well,
here's a question for you. You know how you've heard the stories of the mothers who lift the cars off of their kids and all this stuff. Do you think then, from a creative artist point of view, there was a chemical, biological reaction that you'd never experienced before that perhaps was your mother lifting up the car strength, but from a creative point of view?
No, I think it's like the motherly instinct thing. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I literally, bro, my biggest thing, and to this day, I'm 39 years old, and I have a wife and two lovely sons with her, and still my 6-year-old daughter with my ex.
Yeah.
My mentality is I don't want to be my father. My father, we grew up with him until about 8 or 9 years old. He left, and he just preached this thing, like preached it. That's how a man is. That's how a man is. And we looked at it, and everything he said was biblical. It was like written in stone. Like everything you say, like I feel that shit. And then he left. Then he was gone, and we lost everything. My mom, we like went from living in the same trailer we were growing up, which it wasn't much, but it was our home, to fucking living in Section 8 housing, like in lights going off and shit. And I've always got this mentality of I don't want to be my father. I cannot be my father. I don't want to be looked at like my father. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
so like, yes, something did spark off, but it was more more of a I'm not going to be that guy versus
I'm with you. So how long, I mean, how old were you when you started putting pen to paper? Like when was your first sort of step into, you know,
I started rapping I want to say I was like 14 or 15 when we got kicked out of that trailer. We grew up in Polk County, Florida. We got kicked out of the trailer. We moved up here to Hernando County in Brooksville, and we had to live in like these Section 8 apartments, and it was a predominantly black neighborhood. So like I was always into rock and roll, Korn, Marilyn Manson, and I still love that shit to this day. But I was introduced to like hip hop and actually liked it. This was like fresh, brand new Cash Money scene, Hot Boys and shit like that. And all my friends that were in that neighborhood rap. And I was like, I listened to Limp Bizkit religiously, and Limp Bizkit, Fred Durst was in my opinion, is a hell of a rapper. I'm going to get crucified for that, but I think he's fucking dope MC. And I was like, I could do this, and I probably wasn't good, but I stood out amongst my peers when I did, but that was like 14, 15 years old, maybe.
Yeah. Like, am I right in saying this, that Fred Durst hired Halle Berry for a music video and just kissed her for 2 minutes of the entire video, and then did an interview about it saying that, listen, if you're going to hire Halle Berry for a music video and you can get away with it, that always stuck out in my mind.
He had her in that Behind Blue Eyes video.
That's the one right there. Yes. Okay, so let's talk about videos. Let's get on to the fantasy realm for a minute here, Ryan. Okay, you've got unlimited budget. You've got unlimited for your dream collab and a dream video location, right?
Yeah.
Anything you want. Where's that location and who's that collab with?
I really like Zach Bryan and Tyler Childers right now. I really like their music. And then the Honest Ave artist, he's really dope. I'd probably say it's Tyler Childers, though. When it comes to location, I don't know one specifically, but you know them old Western Hollywood. You remember, what is that? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Okay, yeah.
You remember that old Western town they had?
Yep.
They like had an old Western town film lots. They filmed a bunch of the, like Bonanza and shit. One of those would be fire. They have like a saloon and shit.
Tumbleweeds and shit coming through. That's the one. Do you know, it's so random, right? I live in a city called Edinburgh, and in one of the main streets, a place called Morningside, there's a film set that is literally a saloon, and I think three houses long of either side of a Western like town. But we're talking like, imagine you go to not the main shopping strip in your town, but like the next one, and then three streets back, just in the middle of nowhere is this tiny little Western that, and you know, people, they film movies there. It's so random. It's so random. So if you're ever in Scotland, man, right, there is a very good chance you can make that shit happen. All right. I'm just saying. Okay. So yeah. Well, listen, I think what we'll do is, if everyone can just give me a like and a share, push this out, I think we'll introduce the side chat to some of your music. And, you know, we've picked this song, Unmarked Grave. It's yourself, Ryan Hard Target, and Bredwyn DeVille, who is here looking dapper. Looking very dapper. So we'll get into that. I'll mute everyone's mics. Any sound issues, let me know in the side chat. And yeah, enjoy. Let's put it out here. Oh, that's the wrong button. This is the right button. And then we do this, and then we mute everybody.
Far away, far, far, far from the place we're from. Angel on my side, the devil loaded on my gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep me steady. Pack back and show me heaven. Someone take me far away, away from the place where I'm from. You're holding on a grudge while I'm holding on this gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep this steady. Come back and show me heaven, lead me to an unmarked grave. I don't think I could evolve without me killing you off. The thought of living at all has got me wishing on stars. I'm possibly fixing the fall. If you got me, then give me a meows. They pinning me up on the wall. I'm calling the guard or someone to talk. When I suffer in my brain, no, I can't deal with the pain, no. Nah, take my heart like Kano. Why? What you do like Drano? Bah, bah. But they told lies, and days go bah, bah. Looking for a scapegoat, hide. And I'm trying not to buckle, but one day I know I'm a fool. And a revolver turning, slowly drinking holy water. I'm at the altar while I'm staring at the preacher's daughter. Oh, please forgive me, Father. And I can't get back what I never really had, and now I'm falling farther. Far away, far, far, far from the place we're from. Angel on my side, the devil loaded on my gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep me steady. Come back and show me heaven. Someone take me far away. Way from the place where I'm from. You're holding on a grudge while I'm holding on this gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep this steady. Come back and show me heaven, lead me to an unmarked grave.
This freshly oiled chrome reflects a felony. My conscience gone soft, dark thoughts compelling me, negging me, begging me to seek some trigger therapy. I'd happily take care of thee. Y'all problems aired out there with me. No problem, revolver can solve discrepancies. Chopper can calmly bring calmer to referees. Please sit back and watch, don't intervene. This is long overdue between him and me. They and we, me and me, tired of the inner me. When the shots go pop me, bully me, laying on the ground, holding tight to the enemy. But it's only me. Holding back tears with my blood on my hands. No more fighting this desperate man. Now I can live, not just survive. The old me died so I can show who I am. Reborn from the gun smoke, leather skin for the cutthroats. Going for the gusto, through the jungle with blood on my knuckles. Till we all go.
Far away, far, far, far from the place we're from. Angel on my side, the devil loaded on my gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep me steady. Come back and show me heaven. Someone take me far away, away from the place where I'm from. You're holding on a grudge while I'm holding on this gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep this steady. Come back and show me heaven. Lead me to an unmarked grave.
Freaking awesome, first of all. Like the video, everything is, it was just, it's awesome. right?
Yeah, I did it. That guy did the video.
Dude, it's a great video. All your bars in that were freaking on point as well. Like, both of you are fucking fire.
They're decent.
I tell you what, you've got those hip-hop bandy arms as well when you're dancing and doing your shit, man. I don't know if you've got, like, double-jointed elbows or some shit. But
I do have double-jointed arms.
I saw some wizardry going on there that I was like, there's something going on here. I hope this isn't something that's not, we can't talk about. But yeah, no, man, it was fire. And it just sucked me in. And it was odd when it was, well, not odd. It was totally understandable. But when I was talking to Mac earlier and I said I was going to play one of your tunes, this is the one that I've been banging out all week. Like, absolutely banging it out all week.
That song right there, I recorded that like, I want to say 2019. It was around the house before I lived in this house, and I sat on it. I loved the song, and me and Bredwin both did it at the time. And this year, I knew it. I loved the song, but in my head, I'm like, the fans ain't gonna give a shit about this song.
Right.
I said, we need to put out a song and video. So let's shoot a song for Unmarked Grave. And at the time, I remade the beat like 5 times. I just wasn't happy with it.
Yeah.
And finally, I was like, fuck it. I'm putting it out the way it is. We shot the video, and he's like, what do you want? What storyline do you want to do? I was like, I don't care about any of that. Just shoot the video. We'll perform it and put it out until we get to do the rodeo video or the big body video. It was meant to be a stepping stone. That song is performing better than every song I've put out in the past 4 or 5 years.
It's people. I mean, I connected with it, man. I connected with it. And do you know what I think it is? I think it's the stripped back lifestyle. If you get my drift, like, I can relate to everything going on in that video, chilling, you know, sitting in, you know, like a work yard or whatever, the woods, all of this. It was very brought down.
That's just a friend's place. That's
right. And I connect with that, and I think all around the world people can identify with things in that video. Whereas I think when we have the hip hop scene and we have that country twang. Like, when Mac said to me, I've got this hip hop artist with a country twang. Like, I'm from Edinburgh, right? There's no hip hop country twang scene going on, right? And you know, when I heard this, I was like, this is fucking fire. This is fire. Do you know what I mean? And this is the one that I connected with. And I think there's a formula there, man, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A formula there that you just want to maybe just for science, just
do it again.
Let's do it again. Just a little bit. Just a wee salt bee sprinkle. Because
the thing is like, songs like that, right? I make those songs. Those are just it. That's second nature. Then I know I'll make, like, and don't get me wrong, like, I don't force myself to do like upbeat or like more catchy songs. Yeah. I'll do them because I like them, but I know they, like, if I talk some ratchet shit and I'm just talking some like slick ass fucking sliding on shit, people love that. They love it when I'm ratchet and just saying raunchy ass shit. It always works for me. But when it comes down, if you look at the formula of my folders of these songs that I'm creating and producing, 90% of them are dark chord progressions with something very personal or something very vague personal thing I'm going through. But I just know it doesn't work with the fans. And like, praise the Lord, that is working because I love doing that style of music.
Do you think it could have anything to do with your fan base just becoming a bit more mature? Because that was, I mean, it's a grown-up song and video. Like, it's proper shit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, the fan base that I know, you're from Scotland, so you're in America, it's been going on for a while, but like mainstream America is now picking up on this country thing. But this country shit, like, I've been doing like mixing country with hip-hop since 2003,
It's sick. Really, like, I'm a fan of the concoction. I'm digging it.
It's dope. Well, it became a thing where it was a very profitable thing, like, where all these white rappers that didn't make it in regular rap just came and were like, I'm a country boy now.
Yeah.
And it's, and now it's actually going mainstream to where like Beyonce did a country album.
Yeah.
There's that artist Shaboozy, like he's fucking incredible. It's this like trapped out dope boy with big ass dreads that's doing country.
Well, this is the thing. If you're not into country, you don't realize the power of the country scene in America. Like, it's no joke. Like, it's no joke, man. There's a reason Beyonce and all these people are doing these albums. Okay. I'm thinking it's for the bag. Do you know what I'm saying? Because
so a lot of the mainstream shit is for the bag. And even on the lower level, that's the reason I brought that up, though, is this country rap genre. This is what, like, I was doing my music the way I do. Like, I consider myself a hip hop artist. I just have country in it. But country rap adopted me, the genre. These fans are not like teenagers that are going to listen to my music and be like, this is dope, this is dope, and post on TikTok and then have a kid or a mortgage in a couple of years and grow out of that phase. These fans are past that. They're in the phase of life of who they are going to be until they check out. They are already grown. So when they like your shit, they're locked in. Like, we got fans that, like, we could be in the same room and you could say something smart to me, and before I have a chance to respond, they're going to fuck you up because they are that gung-ho, die-hard, like, supportive. So, like,
yeah, I'm
very blessed by the this genre that I've been adapted by. But it's, I know it's not reached overseas like that yet, but
you are not appreciating one finer element of this. I have actively not liked the country music scene my entire life. Over 40 years of complete rejection of the whole music scene. And this has opened up country to me in a little bit. Do you see what I'm saying? Through hip hop. And that's kind of fascinating to me because there's huge country tunes, and you know, it's one of the genres that it'll just never be played, not even accidentally. I'm sorry, Lizard Lounge. I'm sorry, and I'm not taking away from anyone who's a country fan. It's like quiche. It's a fucking egg pie. Don't give it a fancy name and call it egg pie. I know I don't like it. Okay, stop lying to me. It's the same with country for me. And
you listen to the wrong country, though, man. I'm telling
you. Right, I guarantee you.
The country that's out now, like, granted, Morgan Wallen does do some good music and Hardy, but a lot of that country is just pop with a guitar on it. Bro, go listen to Zach Bryan, Tyler Childers, and people like that. They're like, they are big now, and they are doing big venues. But a couple years ago, they were just like streamed well. But if you listen to their shit, they're writing like, it's beautiful. It's like poetry. Like, they're writing thoughts.
I will accept this homework task, okay? I will do this homework, all right? And I will give you an honest rebuttal, because listen, it's one of those things, like any experience in life, if you have a bad experience or the wrong experience, or you're led to the wrong place that isn't right for you, it won't work out. And I feel like that could be my experience with country. Maybe it's just been the wrong country and all of this. So listen, we've talked about the beginning, right? We've talked about your collabs that you would like to do. We've talked about this awesome the awesome video, the awesome tunes. Let's talk about when things mentally, right? We've heard of writer's block. We've heard of creator's block. Have you ever experienced a period where you were just like, nothing is coming out of me? I am like, expand on if that, you know, if there was a feeling of loss or lost at that period of your life.
Yeah and no. Years ago, I want to say maybe probably like prior to like 2010, I would say, yeah, there's a lot of little bumps where it was like, I just don't like anything I'm writing. The best thing I could say this for any artist is like, I don't care about, like, that's an artist's biggest fear, writer's block. It literally will hinder you making a paycheck. I'm not one bit worried about it. I'm more worried about me having a stroke or getting an accident where I can't speak anymore, because I surround myself with people like this motherfucker right here. I surround myself with artists that when they get in the room with me, I'm inspired. When I sit in the room with them, they say something. I'm like, oh, what about this? Oh, what about this sound? Or what about rhyming with this? What about we say it this way? What if we make the notes go this way?
All right.
And then another thing is, I don't write. I do it all in my head now. I stopped writing maybe back in 2013, 2012. I stopped writing. I do it in my head. And then when it comes to production, I don't know any of this stuff like professionally. I don't know like music theory. So I'm just doing what I think sounds right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's going to be wrong.
Does that go hand in hand with your self-belief in your craft, do you think? How you've progressed? Yeah. So you've sort of found your groove. You know you're capable. You know what's going to sound fire. And it's all in your head. And you just make it happen. Yeah.
Well, you can make fucked up music, though, too, with your head, though, too.
I'm just saying. I agree. But it's
Fred went a song maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it was just a song where I sang. I didn't rap on it. And he wrote back. He's like, man, I don't like that fucking twang you're doing. He's like, sing it normally. Get rid of that country twang you did. So I went and redid it and sent it again. He's like, that's better. But I don't know. And then later, like 2 days ago, and I'm like, fuck that song. That song will never see the light of day. I was in my head because I was already self-conscious about it. We're riding down the road and I play the song and he's like, holy fuck, this song's good. I was like, are you fucking with me right now? And he's like, no, this, bro, you fuck. And started going in. I'm like, okay. And I knew in my head, I was like, this song is really fucking great or I suck. You know what I mean? And it was all just, it was a mental thing. I like read what he said. You win. It sucks. It's going in the garbage. You know what I mean?
Do you think that's because I often find that if I stare too long at a project, like whether it's graphic design or a video project or whatever, you lose all sense of how good what you've done is until a fresh set of eyes or ears hit it. So do you think that you can pollute your own brain by overworking a project?
You have to 100%. When I the way I make music now is, first thing I do is I find the chord progression I'm going to be making the song, and I get the melody. I build the production as I'm writing. I'll record, like when I say writing, my writing is I record into the microphone a rough draft of what I'm thinking. Then I build the beat around more parts, keep adding vocals, and then now I got this whole thing put together, blah blah blah, and then I record the main vocal, the final vocals, and I walk away from the song for like weeks. And then I come back and I go, now I'm listening to this brand new. And I go, I mute everything. I turn on the kick and the bass. And then I just start going from there, bottom to top, and mixing it. Because if I do it right there in that moment, I'm going to fucking butcher this mix. I'm going to butcher the way it sounds.
So you've got to forget and then come back and hear it one at a time and then bring it all together. Yeah, what would your advice be, right? And I mean, this is the cheesy question, right? What would your advice be to people who, you know, want to get into being a self-made artist? What would you say is the one bit of advice that you would offer to anyone who is wanting to walk in your shoes?
First off, you don't need anyone to do it. Like, you don't need anyone. I came from an era where when I wanted to learn what studio equipment or how to mix my vocals, it was a secret. It was secret. People, they didn't want to give it away. You want to do something, you don't need to pay a studio. You don't need to pay a videographer. You don't need to pay a producer. You go on YouTube and you type in what it is you want to learn, and you can learn that shit. Now, the process of writing it and all that stuff, stop fucking overthinking it. It's not rocket science. You know what I mean? You're not going to be the best. There's always going to be someone next door or around the block or around the world that is more hungrier and is going to do better than you. Make good music. Stop overthinking it. And if you want the music to be heard, you got to be consistent. You can't put all your time into one song, one video, and all your money behind a marketing budget to push that video and then expect it to work and then be disappointed when it doesn't. You got to be consistent. You have to drop content. I would say at the very least twice a month. You got to be active on TikTok and all that dumb shit too. But I'm completely anti-TikTok, by the way. But you got to do all that shit. You've got to continue to put it out. You've got to be prepared to let 30, 40, 50 song videos all that fail and be able to go, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
I've done it. I've done it. And it, they fail. I live off this, but it's one of those situations where when it fails now, I'm not disappointed anymore because I know I'm going to do another one. And if that fails, I know I'm going to do another one. Consistency is the key, and your fans will see that.
Do you think that it's becoming harder for the new generations to accept failure and not pull themselves out of it? Because I always say it's not your successes, it's how you deal with the failures and how you learn from it. Because failing at something, it's just one step closer to getting it right, if you see what I'm saying. But I think a lot of people, they take it really personally in this day and age now.
This day and age is a butt cheeks, bro. They're soft as fucking baby shit. I'm sorry. I'm going to be 40 next year. And I always say this. It sucks when you're getting older. You're like, you look at these young kids, you're like, damn. You're like, I wish I was that. I don't wish I was your age. You guys are fucked. When Russia wants to come over here and...
It's not even that.
I'm talking to Americans right now. My bad. This is the softest generation there is. Yeah. What needs to happen is you need to put your phone down, put your tablet down, go outside and get punched in the face, rub dirt in your wound, fall off your bike, fight the neighborhood,
right?
Light something on fire.
Yeah.
Something other than staring at these fucking things and waiting for validation from cyber comments.
Yeah, dude, fucking smash that. Like this, I often rant a lot of time about how I seek no validation anywhere. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm very comfortable now. Who I am, what I am, as a man, right? I'm very comfortable with it all. And I think that is one of the most empowering things that somebody can have is belief in themselves, love for themselves, and a path and a journey and understanding that the struggles and the parts where your soul gets ripped apart and you start getting this spiritual scar tissue is what builds us and grows and creates this
learning from your failures.
Learning from your failures and helps you grow strong as a person. Absolutely. And I think a lot of people could benefit from falling off their bike and scuffing their knee in 2024. I'm not going to lie. Because I mean, I often wonder, right? What is going to be the survival rate for this younger generation when it comes to handling rejection? And I think what you've said there about just pushing through and pushing through, prepare yourself to fail ahead of the time and just power through. And what's next? Like what is coming? What is cooking? What is on the buffet? And I tell you what, before you answer that, how many times have you had that planned out this week and then thrown the plan out the window? For what's coming up next?
That happens all the time, to be honest with you. I don't think there's like maybe one or two music videos you'll see of ours. Because I'll just say the music part's the easiest part. When we sit in the studio, whether it be me and Bredwin, Crowny, Dirty, Simple Man, whoever it is I sit in the studio with, that's the easiest part. The hardest part is like, let's get this video to get seen by tons of people. And We'll come up with a game plan. We're like, this is what's going to happen. And we show up and we're like, that's not what happened. You just got to go with it, man. It's not the end of the world if it's not what you thought it would be. It's probably not going to be what you thought it would be.
Yeah. It's one of those things as well. And when we talk about the highs and the lows and the way the algorithm works, if the algorithm God, right, is so graceful enough to shine down upon thee, right, it can be life-changing. You know, not only algorithmically, but mentally, it's that gratification from a soulless AI driven algorithm. Okay. That can make or break a lot of people. Have you experienced anything that has been, you can put your hands up and go, shit, we've done something in a video or a thumbnail that you felt like has put you a step behind or a step back, in what you've done?
Is there something we've done that's like that fucked us? I know.
Signing to other labels instead of starting our own.
Yeah, yeah. Like, okay. Well,
talk about that. Talk about the realities of, being in your position, being offered a deal, right? Getting that, like, fucking hell, we're making it boner. and then the realities of it all. Like, take us through the highs and the lows of the record deal side of all.
Again, I've never I had been approached by Sony back in 2011. I didn't do that deal. I was about to Fred when I was managed by Fred Durst. There was a moment where he was trying to get me signed to a major. I think it was Interscope at the time. That didn't happen. But the deals I did do, there's one label that I signed. I've signed, when I say labels, technically three labels I've been signed to. Okay. Dirt Rock Records, I don't regret it at all. Dirt Rock Records, there's this group called The Lax. And back in like 2015, I met these guys. They took me around the United States, put me in front of thousands of people. They'd done albums with me, had my music sold in Walmart. It's like I've got nothing but fucking flowers to give to the men right there. I don't want to call them boys. They're big ass boys. Yeah. The other labels, nothing bad about them, but there was no reason to sign with them. When it's all said and done, everything's done in house. If I don't need anybody, no homo, but this man right here.
Yeah. He kind of looks like a badass Santa Claus, right? Or if Santa was raised in like a really far out Amish community and you've just broken free, right? It's the beard, it's the cut of the beard, man. It's the cut of the beard. Okay. So yeah, I feel it, man. But that's good. I mean, it's that bond that you guys will have had and that faith in each other. And you know, you're both shit hot at what you're doing. The video was banging, and it's not like you were, you know. You're just in the background with a little bit. Your bars were the whole song was fantastic, and it's honestly, you need to just repeat this format, man. Just for science, right? Just fucking repeat this.
Absolutely.
Shit.
Absolutely, yeah, I totally agree. We have some records like that, by the way. It's not like we're not doing it.
No, no, of course, Well, I mean, as well though, it's the algorithm, man. Like if you were chefs and you were putting out dishes, you need to wait for the feedback from, you know, the people you're serving it to. And when you see the success rate of this song, it you're connecting to people in a way that people are listening. Do you know what I'm saying with this one? Because like I say, it's dialed me writing. And yeah, I mean, Max in the side chat, he's saying, you know, you've got over 200 songs. You're talking about deals back in that you were offered in 2011. It's obviously been a freaking journey, mate. I mean, you started putting things together at 14. You're about to topple 40. That is a journey. That is a journey.
Yeah.
Life now. Let's talk about life now. You know, what is your sort of driving focus? You've got your family, you've got this. What's next there? Is there anything in your personal life that's coming up that's maybe, I don't know, going to affect your music, or is something you want to talk about?
I'm my wife would give me more blowjobs. That would be cool.
Hey, listen. I'm just even if you got 10 a day, right? Yeah. Would it ever be enough? When are you ever going to be like, okay, I could fit in another two, maybe. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, man. It's when you could never have. There's some things you can never have enough of. That's all I'm saying.
Right now, fucking, where we are about to move and shit like that. Like, this is why I don't like being on a label. This is why I enjoy just it being us, because I don't have like a timeline. I do what I want when I want. I make my own hours. I always will say this. I'm in the position I am. I don't know how this chat looks on this. I'm in the position I am because of the grace of God. And I give thanks to that first and foremost when I wake up and go to bed, and I make sure my kids do the same thing. But with that being said, I'm blessed to say this is my job. I'm very thankful for it. I don't have to answer to nobody. I do what I want when I want to do it. And I the best thing I got going for me right now is, yes, I make money off music. Yes, this is how I pay my bills. But I love creating music. I'm not saying that because it sounds good and it'll make a good t-shirt or be a cool Instagram post and like a meme. I love it. If I could not make music, I would 100%. I'm good. I hate to be that guy and be like, I don't want to. I'm good. I can move on now. I love making music. There's too much shit in my head that I want to say, or things I want to put out there that I won't say, that I can't say. But if I do it in a song, I could get it out of my head.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's a very healthy and proactive way of dealing with stuff in your head. You know what I'm saying? Put it down in a song, you know, as opposed to, you know, dealing with it in a more negative way. Okay.
Yeah, well, I almost said some, all that shit.
Some algorithmically unfriendly words there. Well, I think if anybody has got any questions they want to fire over to Ryan, stick them in the side chat. We've got about 10 minutes left. I just want to say that this has been the most pleasant interview of the day, simply because, right, the last two interviews, man, I kept having to turn the camera off and like hold my face. And I've been gubbing down these painkillers, and it's been such a refreshing conversation. Like I said, we bring so much of the dark side of the world. I think it's good for us to end the week with something that is just a little more engaging on a different level. You know what I'm saying? It's we can look at your art, we can discuss it, and it's a positive and it's a good thing. And I think I saved a couple of questions. Oh, Mac was wanting to know what you think of Adam Colham, or Adam Colhoun, Adam Calhoun, and if you would be ever somebody you would collaborate with.
Adam Calhoun is a great friend of mine. Before I knew Adam Calhoun, when he first popped on the scene, I wasn't a big fan of him, but it was at the time I didn't like anyone that came in this genre because I felt like it was just a money grab. Like, oh, I can't make it in regular rap. I'm going to make it in country rap. And I remember this one specific moment where I was like, I want to go listen to more of his music. And I liked his music. Then I met Adam and I started talking to Adam. Adam is as solid as they come. This motherfucker, in this genre where we're at, and music in general, Adam like does numbers. I've seen that motherfucker outsell Marsh, Eminem on the charts, Drake and shit. Adam is up here. I'm not even on the radar to compare to him, and Adam fucks with me. He gains nothing from it. And for him to reach down and fuck with an artist like that, that says a lot about his character, because there's a lot of artists that won't do that because they're insecure as fuck.
Yeah, it's the same culture on YouTube. It's all about the number under your name. Do you know what I'm saying? They look at a number before they look at anything else, and I understand that. Okay, here's another question for you. Who is your main influence? And I imagine there's going to be levels to this. I think 14-year-old you and 30-year-old you might have different influences, but let's narrow it down to like your three influences or most influential artists or whatever, however you want to frame it in your head.
I know I'm gonna say names that just pop up, but then I hear other ones. I was really big on Field Mob. I loved Field Mob growing up. They were very fucking country ass motherfuckers, but they were lyrical as hell the way they strung their words together. I love Mike Shinoda's writing. Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park is one of the best songwriters on this planet. I don't care what anyone says. And it would be a toss-up between fucking Tyler Childers and Zach Bryan as of who I like. I listen to their music now, and I just love the way they write, man. It's really fucking cool.
Well, I've got a question from Shane coming up next, but just since you mentioned Linkin Park, thoughts on the relaunch?
I didn't mind it at all. I know a lot of people. I get why people are messed up about it.
Enough time has passed, okay? I get it. You can't replace Chester. We get it. Enough time has passed, okay? We have to move on, okay? You know what I'm saying?
What I'm going to say, though, too, and this is, I know this. I shouldn't even say this out loud. I'll probably get in trouble for this. But, like, hey, man, no one wants that to happen to a person. People go through mental things all the time. But they didn't choose for that to happen.
No, they did not.
And now they just got to live with what happens with it. It's not fair to ask five other members to have to go, okay, we're just done now too.
The level of respect that band had and the time that they left it, okay, was
massive hit.
No other band's doing that.
Massive. No other band,
a cash cow band, right? Because the Linkin Park are fucking massive, right? Yeah. And Chester was, I mean, I remember when Linkin Park first came out and before Chester unleashed his fury, I'm looking at Chester and I'm like, why is this guy got flames tattooed in his arms and shit? I'm like, this guy is a fucking cringe cliche. And then he just unleashed the fury and I was like, oh, he's badass. He's a fucking badass. That's what it is.
Bro, it was like the way they moved throughout the years, they kept a sound, but the music progressed in different ways. Yeah. Like it wasn't like paper cut. It was, then you got this shit for fucking they did for Transformers. Like these songs were beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Huge, bro. No one will replace him. The girl is dope. Great. Jeez. They have every right to move on forward, but no one will replace Chester.
No, 100%. The argument, that was never the question of the argument, but I think, I mean, obviously she was, I mean, if you've seen her, did you see the concert they've done? You could see that she was probably the most nerve-wracking performance of anyone's lifetime is filling in that position. Oh, yeah. And I thought she smashed it. I thought she smashed it. I'm so here for it. I'm loving that they've taken the opportunity to bring in a whole new type of genre of vocalist, being a female vocalist. I'm here for it, man. I mean, I'm here for it.
And then people, I seen a lot of comments of this. She sounds nothing like Chester. Imagine that, though. What if they, how that would have been way,
it would have been so worse, bro.
Sounded just like Chester.
If anything, yeah, if anything, having a powerful female lead in Linkin Park, to be honest, I think was the only option. Every other male vocalist would have been, oh, well, he's not Chester. Oh, he doesn't sound like Chester. Or if he was too much like Chester, it would have been, why are you trying to replace Chester? So I think they nailed it. Okay, here's another one for you, which is from our wonderful Shane. Are you doing any more cruises with Jeff in the Creek? I know Jeff and Tommy Chain. I don't know.
God rest his soul. Tommy Chain passed away a few years ago.
Okay. I beg your pardon. It does say and new. Tommy Chain. I beg your pardon. That was. I can't read words. Okay, even though they're in front of me, Ryan. I apologize. Sometimes my brain just likes to make a mockery of me. So that was me misspeaking.
The promoters that set up the cruises. The cruises are fun, by the way. I've done, I think, 3 total now. I was approached to do one again recently. I wasn't approached. One of my partners was approached.
Okay.
And they wanted to bring us on it, but I think they knew not to ask me because they knew what my response would be. I don't want to do any more of those cruises. I would love to book a cruise and then go on the cruise and tell all the fans, book the cruise, let's go out, let's all get drunk, hammered, shit-faced, and hang out. But there's no reason why you should have to pay for a cruise and then $200 or how much ever price it was extra just to hang out with us. Like, we're going to hang out with you. You're our fans.
Yeah.
You're going to end up buying me shots. What the fuck?
Hell yeah. It's like you're trapped on a boat with a whole bunch of people that want to be your best friend. Like, it's not a bad deal. Do you know what I'm saying?
When COVID hit United States, we were on the cruise, and when this was like boom, it was like going around the world, then it was like, all right, it's in the United States, we're shutting everything down, we docked. When we're getting ready to go on the cruise, 3,000 tickets were sold for this cruise, 1,000 were our fans, so 2,000 fans, people were not not coming to see us.
Yeah.
Only 1,000 people got on that boat, and you know what that 1,000 was? It was our fans. That boat sold more alcohol in a 3-day cruise than they have in any 5-day cruise in the history of
if the arrows point up on the graphs, the managements are usually happy. Do you know what I'm saying? And you know, we've got a few minutes left. Is there anything that we've not covered? Is there anything you would like to say? Is there anything you want to tell the people? Make sure you guys all go follow. Also, as well, I'm going to be planning something in December, like a big Christmas shenanigans.
Okay.
So I'll keep you posted on that, because this was me test piloting this tonight.
All right.
And I think it would be really, really good to touch base with you again before the end of the year, because
it's been
awesome. And I think everyone in the side chat, I'm a little disappointed because of how the show was meant to go. I feel like you were kind of thrown in the deep end. There was going to be some good show build up for you, and I think you were kind of thrown in the deep end tonight, Ryan, just because of this is the first sort of interview I've done on this channel. And everyone in the side chat has had a good time. They loved your freaking music. It's been positive vibes. And honestly, it's weird because I know that I could go and send this song to one of my daughters. I can send this song to my mum. Is that there's something that people are going to, they've connected with this and can connect with it. And I can't wait to see what's next. I can't wait to hear what's next. And I just want to say thank you so much for giving up your time and being here. It really does mean the world. And thank you to Matt for setting it up. And apologies to your poor wife who got outed on the Sean Atwood channel by her husband. I would like to formally apologize from the legal department of the Sean Atwood channel. But yeah, thanks for being here. And what I'll do is I'm actually going to play out with the track again, because why not? But look, thank you again, Ryan. Thank you, Mac. Big shout out to Mac. Big shout out to
Mac. Shout out, Mac, man. Thanks for setting this up.
Yeah, man. And thanks to all the mods. Thanks to Sean Atwood. Thanks to everyone who's been here. The painkillers are finally kicking in, man. I was so stressed about getting to sleep. So listen, thank you for being here. We'll see you all in the next one, and we'll play you out. Take it easy.
Right. God bless y'all. Y'all be good.
Cheers, brother.
Far away, far, far, far from the place we're from. Angel on my side, the devil loaded up my gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep it steady. Cock back and show me heaven. Someone take me far away, away from the place we're from. You're holding on a grudge while I'm holding on this gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep this steady. Come back and show me heaven, lead me to an unmarked grave. I don't think I could evolve without me killing you off. The thought of living at all has got me wishing on stars. I'm possibly fixing to fall. If you got me, then give me a meows. They pinning me up on the wall. I'm calling the guard to summon the dog. When I suffer in my brain, no, I can't deal with the pain, no. Nah, take my heart like Kano. Why? What you do like Drano? Bah, bah. But they told lies, and days go by, by. Looking for a scapegoat, hide. And I'm trying not to buckle, but one day I know I'm a fool. And a revolver turning, slowly drinking holy water. I'm at the altar while I'm staring at the preacher's daughter. Oh, please forgive me, Father. And I can't get back what I never really had, and now I'm falling farther. Far away, far, far, far from the place we're from. Angel on my side, the devil loading up my gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep this steady. Cock back and show me heaven. Someone take me far away, away from the place where I'm from. You're holding on a grudge while I'm holding on this gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep this steady. Cock back and show me heaven. Lead me to an unmarked grave.
It's freshly oiled chrome. Reflects a felony. My conscience gone soft. Dark thoughts compelling me, negging me, begging me to seek some trigger therapy. I'd happily take care of thee. Y'all problems aired out there with me. No problem, revolver can solve discrepancies. Chopper can calmly bring calmer to referees. Please sit back and watch, don't intervene. This is long overdue between him and me. They and we, me and me, tired of the inner me. When the shots go pop me, bully me, laying on the ground, holding tight to the enemy. But it's only me. But it's only me. Holding back tears with my blood on my hands. No more fighting this desperate man. Now I can live, not just survive. The old me died so I can show who I am. Reborn for the gun smoke. Leather skin for the cutthroats. Going for the gusto. Through the jungle with blood on my knuckles. Till we all go.
Far away, far, far, far from the place we're from. Angel on my side, the devil loading up my gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep this steady. Back and show me heaven. Someone take me far away, away from the place where I'm from. You're holding on a grudge while I'm holding on this gun. I'm ready, Lord help me keep this steady. Come back and show me heaven. Lead me to an unmarked grave. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.